So you want to make some money? All you got to do is be an expert when it comes to infectious diseases, screw up, and then write a book about how brilliant you actually are. It's not just Governor Cuomo that's getting away with it. It's now Dr. Fauci. We're going to have more on that in just a moment. But a programming note, coming up at the bottom of the hour, U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn will actually join us to talk about all the illegal immigrants that are being shipped into Tennessee in the middle of the night. We're going to talk to her about that, plus another cyber attack, this time hitting the meatpacking industry. We'll have that for you, like I said, in just a moment. So Dr. Fauci is a guy that you're supposed to be enamored with. He's somehow an expert, even though he's been screwing up left and right on COVID and making up crap as he goes. He's the same, quote, expert that told you not to wear a mask, then told you to wear a mask, then told you to wear multiple masks, then admitted that he was wearing a mask just for political theater after he didn't need to wear a mask, after he got vaccinated. And he's the same guy that also talked about the idea of bringing masks back every single year indefinitely. This is also the same guy that said that our kids should be wearing masks in schools, even though the science said your kids don't need to wear masks in school. He's the same guy that wore a mask when throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game, but took the mask off while he was sitting next to people, not socially distancing, in the stands after throwing out the pitch wearing a mask. This is Dr. Fauci. Well, Dr. Fauci apparently learned something from Governor Cuomo. Call yourself an expert, get famous, be in charge of something, and then write a book and make some money. Why not? Dr. Fauci has got a new book out. This book is coming out as we've finally gotten our hands on some Fauci pandemic emails. What does he think about people that ask questions or bring up the Wuhan lab, for example? He says, quote, to somebody connected to the Wuhan lab, all is well despite some crazy people in the world. That's right. As the coronavirus pandemic engulfed the world, Science Magazine quoted a top Chinese health official saying the United States and other Western nations were making, quote, a big mistake by not telling people to mask up. Science Magazine stands by its reporting to this day. But the official George Gao worried that the comment that he made about masking up might upset his longtime friend. You guessed it, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Washington's, quote, leading expert on infectious diseases. So amid the deepening worldwide crisis, Gao reached out to clear the air with Dr. Fauci. I saw the science interview. How could I say such a word, big mistake, about others? That was journalist wording. Hope you understand. Now, Gao is the director of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention. He wrote this in an email to Fauci on March the 28th last year. He then went on to say, let's work together to get this virus out of the earth. Yeah, let's work together to get the virus out of the earth. Fauci wrote back, I understand completely, no problem. We will get through this together. Now, the previous unreported exchange was among 866 pages of Fauci emails that have now been obtained by the Washington Post as part of a Freedom of Information Act request. The correspondence between March and April 2020 opens a window to Fauci's world during some of the most frantic days of the crisis, when the longtime director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases was struggling to bring coherence to the Trump administration's chaotic response to the virus, and President Donald Trump was seeking to minimize its severity. That's what these emails at least claim. Fauci's actions during the period now bring up, was he even really conscious of what he was saying? And why was he changing so often? Which goes back to this other headline. Scientists actually warned Fauci that China was likely lying about COVID deaths. And Fauci said the email, quote, was too long to read. That is his now response. Yeah, in mid-March of 2020, a scientist sent an email to Dr. Fauci that China was lying about the number of deaths in China due to the coronavirus, writing that he'd been modeling this outbreak since early January, adding, quote, the data posted by China is not only garbage, it has misled the world into a false sense of security. Vice, death rate, age versus death, and I truly believe the outbreak tsunami in the U.S. has either already happened or is about to happen. As you know, as soon as a surge is sensed, the tsunami will immediately follow. I believe we missed the containment boat quite a while ago. Fauci simply responded, quote, too long to read. Eric Nelson, who has a PhD in applied physics, started the email by acknowledging, you're beyond busy, but I hope you read this email. He continued, I need to clear my conscience because it's possible that some of what I tell you is new and possibly useful in at least saving lives in the USA. After noting that he was a physicist and had been modeling this outbreak since January, Nielsen stated, quote, my panic started minutes after I learned 5 million people left Wuhan around January the 22nd, a few days before the Chinese Communist Party started locking the country down. The 5 million people scattered to 13,000 plus cities in China to visit family and friends for the Lunar Festival that's also known as the Chinese New Year. This man, warning Fauci, said, quote, I'm confident that China stopped counting dead COVID-19 infected bodies since January the 7th. They've been adding fabricated data daily to show to save face, the world and their own people, an impressive flattening of China outbreak curve. The number of body bags my contacts told me about, even after short 15-minute walk to and from the grocery stores in one city during this CCP-authorized time slot, suggests the number of deaths is several orders of magnitude larger than what China posted data indicates. Now, you may wonder, what is the White House thinking about all these emails that have been uncovered from Fauci? White House staff, we are being told now, are actively discussing an exit strategy for Dr. Fauci following the release of his emails yesterday, per a White House official. And so far, what we do know from reading through these emails is this. Dr. Fauci, in these emails, had some urgent time-sensitive discussions about gain of function. That means he may have perjured himself in Congress. We also know from these emails that he told colleagues retail masks don't work due to size of virus. That's also in the emails. We also know that he ignored scientists who told him China was lying about the virus and the data and the death number. And we know from these emails that Dr. Fauci was well-educated, well-aware, meaning a lot of information coming in of the possible leak from a Chinese lab. That is what we actually know. Be clear about this. We know this, right? We know it now. Now, let me go back to this other email warning Fauci about the numbers very early on that China was lying. Quote, I'm 99% sure that SARS-CoV-2 been spreading in the U.S. since late November / early December last year, which this also lines up with this timeline of people that were getting sick randomly in America, and they didn't know what to call it and weren't exactly sure what it was. Remember that? Now we understand a little bit more about that. This scientist also said to Dr. Fauci, I truly appreciate your efforts, and I'm now confident that President Trump, you, and everyone else involved is doing everything possible to ensure the best possible outcomes. Now, this email comes, and the response from Dr. Fauci is, quote, too long to read. But the guy has time to write a new book? This is a guy that's been all over the place. I'll give you another example. The CDC has just released new guidance contradicting their other guidance that's not that old about your kids having to wear masks at summer camp. I wonder if they'll apply this to their public schools, which are holding our kids hostage with the teachers' unions. Take a listen.
The CDC has just issued brand new guidance for summer camps. And here's what we know so far. At camps where everybody is vaccinated, things can go back to the way they were back in 2019. Full capacity, no distancing, no masks. But of course, since children under the age of 12 are not able to get the vaccine yet, most summer camps are advised to keep masking in some form. Now, their guidance is mask use indoors is strongly encouraged for anybody who is not vaccinated. And people who do not need to wear masks outdoors, unless they are unvaccinated and in crowded outdoor settings or in close contact with other unvaccinated people, which basically describes most kids at camp. All right, so that's a lot there, a bit confusing, but luckily for us.
I love that even MSNBC says that's a bit confusing. This is a total cluster is what this is. And what we're now knowing is the White House, like, crap, we got to get rid of Fauci, right? It's amazing how quick when the emails come out that the White House, like, all right, time for an exit strategy, all because these newly classified emails show Fauci's correspondence with Chinese officials shows deep corruption. These declassified emails reveal a close correspondence between top Chinese health officials and Dr. Fauci during the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. The Washington Post is even now saying this is a problem. Chinese health official Gregory Gao was quoted again in Science Magazine March 27th as saying the United States and other nations were making, quote, a big mistake by not telling people to mask up in March. He was worried that the comments would upset Fauci, so he writes the email covering his total, you know, his AWS, right? This is just one example. Now, the exchange is just one of 866 pages of emails. Another exchange between the two friends showed that Fauci and Gao went out of their way to maintain ties to each other despite growing tensions between their two countries. Gao emailed Fauci to say he heard that Fauci had faced threats from people who blamed him for closed schools and the state of the economy and viewed him as a threat to then-President Donald Trump's re-election prospect. He said, quote, I saw some news, hope it is fake, parentheses, that you are being attacked by some people. Hope you are well under such a irrational situation, the email continues. Fauci thanked the member of the U.S. National Academy of Science for his kind note. All is well despite some crazy people in the world, Fauci replied. The email shows that Fauci had received about 1,000 messages a day at one point from colleagues, hospital administrators, foreign governments, and random strangers. I was getting every single kind of question, mostly people who were a little bit confused about the mixed messages that were coming out of the White House and wanted to know what the real scoop is, Fauci said in a recent interview with the Washington Post. I have a reputation that I respond to people when they ask for help, even if it takes a long time. It's very time consuming, but I do respond. The NFL Players Association medical director even asked Fauci how to safely start the next NFL season. A documentary filmmaker asked to ride along with Fauci as he drove to work with a senior House Republican encouraged Fauci to keep being a science truth teller in the face of skepticism about the virus. The emails go on and on and on. The only problem is Dr. Fauci knew a lot more than he was actually telling us. He had plenty of time, by the way, to go on TV. But the actual scientists that warned Fauci that China was likely lying about COVID deaths, Fauci said the email was too long to read. Too long to read. Now, let's go back to the ABC reporter now who has come out. An ABC reporter has finally had to come admit that what we've all known about the media and the COVID lab leak theory. Jonathan Carl, ABC News, chief Washington correspondent, it was dismissed that it was coming out of the China lab, he says, because former President Donald Trump and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo floated the idea publicly because the Trump administration simply couldn't be trusted. Carl was speaking to ABC News' Martha Raddick about why the origins of COVID are so important on his big talk show this week. When she pointed out that people who were once completely dismissive of the lab theory have egg on their face, we need to know how it started, and yes, I think a lot of people have egg on their face, Carl said. This was an idea that was first put forward by Pompeo, Secretary of State, Donald Trump, and look, some things may be true, even if Donald Trump said them. Gee, you think? This is what he had to say about all this. They're admitting, okay, we screwed up, but they're saying we had reason to screw up, and the reason why we screwed up is because Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo we didn't like.
And yes, I think a lot of people have egg on their face. This was an idea that was first put forward by Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, Donald Trump. And look, some things may be true even if Donald Trump said them. And there was, because Trump was saying so much else that was just out of control, and because he was, making a frankly racist appeal, talking about Kung Flu and the China virus, his notion that put forward that this may have, or that he said flatly that this came from that lab, was widely dismissed. But actually, there's some real reason. We don't know, by the way. We still don't know. We absolutely don't know. But now serious people are saying it needs a serious.
But hey, you got to understand why we just totally overlooked this, right? You need to comprehend why we just completely overlooked everything. The reason why we did is because it was Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump saying it. So you need to give us a pass because we're the media. And you got to understand, how can we trust them? Right? How on earth could we trust them? You need to understand. Give us a break here. We couldn't trust them. You can't expect us to trust them. So now where are we? We got a bunch of emails showing that Fauci, I would argue, can't be trusted. That he's either willfully ignorant and stupid about the origins of COVID, or he was basically helping cover it up with the Chinese Communist government. And to make everything better, he's writing a book that you're supposed to buy about his leadership in America today, a book that you're supposed to be excited about because he's got time to write a book about this, but he doesn't have time to read a scientist's email that warned Fauci that China was likely lying about the COVID deaths. And that there was a tsunami going to hit America, which this scientist was right. And the reason why in mid-March of 2020, this email wasn't taken seriously is because, quote, Fauci simply responded with, too long to read, but he had time to write a book. Don't worry now, the White House, they don't have any use for the useful idiot anymore. They're now trying to figure out an exit strategy, apparently, per White House sources, because, hey, we got everything under control now. And your kids don't have to wear a mask at camp, but they probably should wear a mask at camp. That's what they're telling you now. All right, I want to switch gears real quick to this other important story. And that is, you may have seen some of these headlines. We covered it here on this podcast about children, illegal immigrant children, being put on planes in the middle of the night on purpose and flown around the country, then stuck on vans or trucks or buses and then bus to other states, not allowed to get off that bus, even if it was 15, 18 hours, doesn't matter, to get to a city. So no one would know that this is actually happening and actually going on. This is not a joke. Joining me now to talk about this is U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. And Senator, let's start with a basic question. Whose idea was this in the Biden administration to do this in the middle of the night, which I would argue is nothing more than a form of child abuse? When you take a child, you put them on a bus, you put them on a plane, you fly them around the country in the middle of the night, you don't let them get off that bus. These kids have no idea where the hell they are. I would argue this is nothing more than a form of child abuse. And clearly this was an idea that was thought up by the Biden administration, hoping that no one would notice.
Well, and Ben, that is the problem. And the thing is, the Biden administration did not originate this idea. After Barack Obama did the DACA program in 2014, they started utilizing this template to move children around the country that were coming across the border because they had nowhere to put these children. So in 2015, as a part of our Energy and Commerce Committee work, I did a report on this. And this was back in 2015. Now, in 2015, people said, well, you don't like this because it is Barack Obama. I said, no, this is no way to handle the issues that are coming up at the border. When these children are in the care or custody of the cartels, they are being traumatized, they're being abused, they're being sexually molested, and these are children. And when you have situations where we're having to give a pregnancy test to every little girl who is 10 years of age and above because of the amount of abuse that these children are subjected to, this is horrific. Now,
hold on 1 second. I don't want to go. You know, just pass over that because I know you deal with this every day. There are a lot of people that are going to hear and listen to this that are not going to believe what you just said. So let's dive into that a little bit more. You're telling me that everybody over the age of 10, every child over the age of 10, is getting a pregnancy test?
The little girls have to be given pregnancy tests. And when these children come into our care, we have to give these children proper care. These are traumatized children, and we want to take proper care of these children. Now, here is what I think is really a difficult thing, that you have these children brought to the border by the cartels. The cartels have them run toward our border agents and seek asylum. Then it is the U.S. federal taxpayer who is therefore picking up the tab at that point and paying for these children to be flown around the country. Now, the way the federal government transfers this cost to somebody else is to put them on planes or buses and take them to counties and cities around the state who thereby are responsible for health care, housing, child services, basic needs, and education. So that is how the cost gets transferred. And instead of doing this through Homeland Security, there is an agency in the Health and Human Services Department called the Office of Refugee Resettlement. So, Ben, what they have done is to transfer these illegal alien children, migrant children, to that Office of Refugee Resettlement, and that office contracts with different child service facilities around the country. Then thereby, that cost goes to those local entities. That's why Senator Hagerty and I have said we need transparency. If you are going to do this and send these children who truly are traumatized children, they have been trafficked, many of them. Their parents have been given the false hope of saying, turn this child over to the cartel. The cartel will get them to the U.S. Then once they're there, they can come for you. But if you're going to transfer these children, then by all means, let's have some transparency, and you have to allow your local entities to know first.
It is shocking. I would argue it's a form of child abuse to put kids on planes in the middle of the night, fly them to states they've never been to in the middle of the night.
I cannot imagine.
And then throw them on a bus for 18 hours down to Florida and not allow them to get off the bus, because that's one of the things that we learned late last week, was the children are not allowed off the bus anywhere they stop.
Yes, I just cannot imagine what these children are going through. And this morning I saw a video of a five-year-old that was abandoned in El Paso, was abandoned at the border, and the parents bring him in, they put him down, and then they run away. And this precious child, I cannot imagine the fear. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother. I cannot imagine the fear. I cannot imagine the trauma of these children when they begin to be abused, or if they're given, you know, when I was in Arizona at the border working a couple of months ago, they showed me, we were out walking the area, the migrants come, and Ben, they showed me these clear bottles, and they said there is this drug liquid that they put into the water mixture, and they have those that are coming in, the migrants drink this. And it helps get them through. But it is, you know, it's a drug blend. And wow. This is just the saddest thing to me. It is a humanitarian crisis. It is a national security crisis. Because if you go talk to any sheriff around, they will tell you that they know the cartels have taken full advantage of this. Since January, they are setting up their distribution centers on U.S. soil. Meth and fentanyl are cheaper than ever before.
Yeah, because it's easier to get in.
That's right. And these cartels are now blending fentanyl with marijuana. And this is incredibly dangerous. And there have been some deaths of young people, and it was marijuana that was laced. And the Remain in Mexico policy was working. That's why I put President Trump's migrant protection protocols, that Remain in Mexico policy, into legislative language. and we are pushing that forward. We had gotten a handle on this in 2019 and 2020, and the cartels will tell you, and some of the migrants that have been interviewed will tell you, they heard President Biden say, we plan to accept migrants at the southern border. So they, at that point, said, all right, let's go. And they have been full tilt straight ahead. And anyone who thinks these are individuals that just take out walking from somewhere in Central America and end up here at our southern border, that is incorrect. The cartels are completely in charge of that southern border, completely in charge. And you do not come to that border except through a cartel. And a good example, El Chapo's cartel, the Sinaloa cartel, is in charge of the border in Arizona. They also are responsible for about 60% of all the drugs that get trafficked into this country. So this is a tragic, tragic issue. We need to put a halt to this. We need to stop the drug trafficking, the sex trafficking, the human trafficking. This needs to come to an end today.
Well, and these kids are worth a lot of money, these cartels. They look at them no different than they look at the drugs they bring across the border. It's a money-making machine for them, and that's how they treat these kids. It is 100% about the cash. I want to switch gears real quick and ask you one quick question about this another cyber attack that has come out of Russia. This time attacking meat packing. At 1/4 of all our beef production comes from this company that was attacked by another cyber attack that is coming out of Russia. Many believe that this is no different than a direct attack from the Russian government. They do their one degree of separation. They know who these hackers are. They sanction and allow these hackers, and these hackers share information about American systems. This is two attacks. Some would even argue these are almost like a dry run to see what they can get away with and can they get paid and how fast they can pull this off. How concerned are you by the lack of response from the Biden administration on two massive industry attacks on this country? And of course, Russia says, hey, it's not us directly, right? It's these other hackers, private sector that happen to be in Russia. I think you and I probably both know the same thing here. Nothing goes on in Russia that Putin doesn't know about. And you can't have hundreds of hackers hanging out someplace and Russia doesn't know anything about it.
Well, precisely. And, you know, the Russians and the Chinese are all into cyber warfare and espionage. And we know this. And we know this. This is documented. And it is imperative that the Biden administration stand up against this. And I would not meet with Putin. You know, they're to have a summit. I would question having that summit until he puts an end to this. Because these are the two, the Colonial Pipeline and the meat packers are the two that we know about. We don't know about a lot of others, probably.
Sure.
And these hacks are taking place. We know there are healthcare organizations that have been hacked and their systems hacked and their data extracted, but they didn't have a ransom attached to that. And we do not want to encourage these individuals to continue with any type of activity like this. So, you know, this is a national security issue. They have shut down the Colonial Pipeline. And look at it like this. You know, look at what you're paying at the pump right now, Ben. And look at what you're paying at the cash register when you go buy groceries. A lot of that is because of transportation fuel costs. And, of course, the hydrocarbons, where we get a lot of our polymers for packaging and the containers that hold the food.
And it's getting worse. I mean, you look at Biden today. Biden just suspended oil leases in Alaska's Arctic refuge as gas prices are continuing to rise. I mean, this isn't, they're not stupid. They're doing this on purpose, trying to force Americans into alternative and green energy.
Right. And, you know, we look at the Nord Stream 2 And why would he approve the Nord Stream 2 that benefits Russia so that they're selling fuel to our ally Germany and then kill the Keystone Pipeline and then disallow Alaska? So that is why people are beginning to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I talk to people every single day who voted for Joe Biden, but they did not vote for this. I had one friend tell me that, you know, they voted for Biden, but they didn't vote for Bernie Sanders. And they feel like that what they've got is Bernie Sanders, and they're really frustrated. And because this guy didn't like Bernie, he didn't like Elizabeth Warren, so he voted for Biden. And this is, you know,
it's incredible.
I feel like it's just gone so far left that it's not a business friendly. It is something that is disadvantaging.
It's hurting Americans, and it's hurting Americans' pocketbooks. Yeah. And I think people at some point are going to have enough of this. Senator, I appreciate you coming on, obviously, talking about this. Please keep us updated. Lastly, for everybody listening right now to this podcast, there's a little share arrow. And if you would share this podcast with your family and friends, it would make a huge difference so that more people can hear this show and find this show. So again, if you would please hit that share it on Facebook, Twitter, Parler, wherever you are, Telegram, and share it so other people will hear this news that unfortunately the mainstream media is refusing to cover. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks as always for listening.